One of the pandemic realities for my family is that it has changed the way that we handle grocery shopping. So now we typically do the, and some of you probably do this, the online order, and then you go and pick them up. But, you know, a lifetime ago in pre-pandemic times, the way that we typically did it was my wife Kim would prepare a list, and she would go through the grocery store flyer and find the specials and the coupons and all of that, and she would make a list, and then I would take the list and I would go to the store and pick up the things that we had. Now, inevitably, what would happen is I would be going along doing my shopping, and you know, a question would come up. And so typically what I did is I would save all of my questions, and then toward the end of the trip, I would make, I think what for Kim was a dreaded phone call, with my list of questions. So, you know, I can't find this thing. Do you know where it might be? Or you know, they're out of this item, or they're out of this brand. Do you want something else instead? Or, you know, these things are 10 for 10. How many do you want? You know, these kinds of questions. Now, the problem that would come is often phone reception wasn't great in the grocery store. And yes, I see nodding, so you've experienced this too, some of you. And so I would make the call, and you know, my voice or her voice would be cutting out, so we were having problems communicating. Occasionally, the call would drop, and then, you know, the worst thing happened. I had to make the decisions for myself what to do. I think Kim probably, you know, was happy when the call dropped and, you know, just finish the load already. You've been there 2 hours, I imagine, is what she thought. Now, you nodded your heads, so you've apparently had that issue with the grocery store, but I suspect we all, one place or another in life, have had that experience, that situation where we're trying to communicate with someone, and, you know, in the wonders of the digital age, you know, sometimes it's easier than others. Calls drop, connections are poor, and we're not able to hear each other. And then you take those kind of technology issues and you compound them with the fact that sometimes even when you're in the same room with a person, sometimes when you're looking face-to-face at each other, we don't communicate well. We struggle to listen well. We struggle to hear what the other person is saying and to understand. We're not always good listeners. Sometimes we're very good tellers. I think a lot of us like to be tellers these days, you know. We like to tell people what we think. We're often good askers. You know, we can ask questions. We're not always very good listeners. And this shows up, I would say, in our relationship with God. Sometimes on our end in particular, there's a poor connection. Sometimes God might want to communicate something to us, and we don't always listen very well. So we've been in this series called Make the Shift, where we've been talking about seven different shifts that both we might make in our lives and that God might want to make inside of us. And we've been working our way through and thinking about these shifts together. And this is week 5 of that series. And this morning, the shift that we think about is the shift from ask to listen. From ask to listen, from consulting with other people about this, that, or the other thing. In fact, consulting with everyone else about this, that, or the other thing. From doing that to listening first and foremost to God. And even from talking or telling or asking or bringing our requests and bringing our agenda to God, from doing all of that to bringing ourselves to God and saying, what do you want to say to me, God? Rather than just bringing my stuff, I want to hear from you. This is the shift that we want to think about together this morning. And as we do that, I want to start with what is a fairly basic reality as we think about this subject, and that is just that God can, and he does, and he will speak. He can, and he does, and he will speak. Now, for some of you, that is an obvious and unquestionable truth. For others of you, I imagine that the idea that God speaks could cause confusion. It could cause questions. It could cause concerns. It could cause mixed feelings. It's interesting when we talk about communication with God. We are very, by and large, very comfortable with the idea of prayer. And if you want a very basic definition of prayer, that's just us talking to God. Very comfortable with that. I mean, not just we here in this church or in the church in general, Americans are comfortable with that. You know, you've probably seen, there have been surveys done. A number of years ago, a survey done by Newsweek said that the vast majority of Americans say that they pray in a week's time more than they go to work, more than they exercise, more than they have sexual relations. So, you know, the average American values prayer, talking to God. Interestingly enough, in surveys like that, I think in this particular survey, about 13% of the people who responded said that they were atheist or agnostic. So either they don't believe in God or they're not totally sure what they believe. And about one-fifth of those still pray every day. I don't know who or what they're praying to, maybe, but they still pray. We're comfortable with the idea of talking to God, us speaking to God. But when it comes to God talking to us, we're not so sure what to make of that. Actress Lily Tomlin had this line in a play that she did once. She said, "Why is it that when we speak to God, we are said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we are said to be schizophrenic?" And that gets to some of the concerns that we have when we think about God speaking to us. There have been things that have been done because God told me to do it, that are, you know, terrible, that are tragic, that are awful. Now, sometimes it might just be mildly amusing, you know, like on Christian college campuses. Every once in a while, I suppose, there's a guy who says to an uninterested girl, "I think it's God's will that we should date." But then, you know, you can go from there and you can find pastors who have stood in front of a congregation like this and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and used a phrase like that to manipulate people and to try to get away with all kinds of things. And of course, I mean, we can go on up the chain from there. And I suspect we could provide lots of examples of times when things have been done because, you know, quote unquote, God told me to do it. And most of us would pale at the idea that God actually said those things. Some of us would rather think, given the potential excesses, some of us would rather think, well, you know, God, he has spoken, and he's spoken here, and he's spoken in his word, and all that we need to know, all that we need to know, he says here, and so we don't need to even think about the idea that God still speaks because he has spoken definitively and that's enough. And yet, if the Bible is our guide, then God loves to interact with people. And we can find examples all through the scriptures. In fact, I mean, in some ways that is the Bible, is it's you know, this sort of telling of God's interactions with people over time, from Adam and Eve in the garden to Christians in the early church. And we find this driven home when God becomes one of us in Jesus. To a few of Jesus' disciples, on one occasion, God the Father spoke and said, "This is my Son," speaking of Jesus, "whom I love. Listen to him." Jesus, on another occasion, said, "My sheep know my voice, and they listen. I know them, and they follow me." And on more than one occasion, he said this curious phrase, "If anyone has ears to hear, let them listen." To have a relationship with God is by definition to have there be communication going both ways. One pastor said this, as long as we are going to pray to the God who spoke the creation into being, who communicated to prophets and priests and kings and ordinary people, who inspired a 1,000-page book we know as the Bible, who refers to his son as the Word made flesh, then surely we accept the possibility that sometimes he may want to get in a word or two with us. And so this is my big idea for the morning, and it's really very simple. And it's just this: let's listen up, because God has something to say to you. God has things he wants to say to me. Let's listen up to what God would say to us. Now, we might be tempted to believe that God is too big and important to speak to ordinary people like us. And to some extent, I suspect this is shaped by our culture and particularly the way that we think of celebrities, you know, the rich and famous. We're in this interesting situation where we can, you know, we can know a lot about these celebrities and we can even feel somewhat close to them. And yet, I mean, yet there's a distance. I mean, we never actually communicate with them and we don't expect them to talk to the likes of us. I'm reminded of a couple situations that I had years ago. In the early 2000s, my family lived near WGAL, the local TV station. And so occasionally when we were out and about, we would bump into personalities from WGAL at the time. So I remember one occasion when I ran to a Turkey Hill close to our house and was buying something, I don't know, and just ahead of me in line was Dick Hawksworth. It's a name that some of you, you know, I'm getting older, I guess, because he's not around anymore, but Dick Hawksworth was ahead of me in line, and the clerk at the counter in Turkey Hill says, "Oh, hi," to Dick, as if she's close personal friends, and then she sort of laughs and looks embarrassed, and is like, "Oh, yeah," because I think she realized, like, she feels like she knows Dick because she sees him on the TV, but she really doesn't know him at all. Like, he doesn't know her, and so she's acting real familiar with him, and so she's kind of embarrassed when she realizes that mistake. We have this sense of, you know, oh, we know you, and yet we don't really, and you don't know anything about us. On another occasion, I think we were in the hardware store, and we were waiting in the checkout line there. Everything interesting happens in the checkout line, I guess. My daughter Cassie was probably two years old at the time, just a toddler, and I think I was holding her, and another WGAL personality, Kim Lemon, is right there, and she looks over at us and sees Cassie and says, "Cute." Now, why do I remember that? I mean, because Kim Lemon thinks my daughter is cute, but why do I care what Kim Lemon thinks? No, we have this interesting relationship with celebrities. And so we don't expect them to have any attention for the likes of us. And maybe sometimes we think about God in a similar way. And yet God is just the opposite. You know, God is the supreme being of the universe. He's the greatest being in existence. And part of what that means is, even as he is in charge of all the affairs of the universe, he still cares for each one of us. And he still wants to be close with us. What an awesome privilege. And that means he wants to communicate with us. And so, let's recognize, as we think about God's communication with us, that he has something to say. And if we will listen, we might hear what he has to say. And what he has to say is not just for the super spiritual people. You know, not for the spiritual celebrities. For ordinary people like you and me. And if you have any doubts about that, all you need to do is do a survey of the scriptures, you know, and what you find there is that the people that, you know, we maybe talk or think about as saints were not so saintly in many cases. Their failings and their foibles were portrayed, you know, in stark relief throughout the scriptures. So, you know, you have Abraham. Abraham, we see him today as the father of three faiths, the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith, and the Christian faith, and all kinds of crazy foibles in his life. You know, he got caught by kings telling the same lie twice, and it was a strange lie at that. You know, he's claiming that his wife is actually his sister. Just kind of a weird situation. And then you could delve into his family and all kinds of dysfunction in Abraham's family. And God spoke to him. Abraham's son Isaac told the same lie that his father did. Apparently it was a generational thing. He learned it from his dad. And Isaac played favorites with his sons. And that caused all kinds of craziness in their family. Jacob, Isaac's son, like his father, had favorites among his sons, which again created all kinds of problems. Jacob had to flee because his scheming and cheating made his own brother want to kill him. Jacob interacted with God. Moses was a murderer. David was also a murderer, as well as an adulterer. Paul put Christians in jail, even had some of them executed before he became one himself. All people who had interactions with God, and they have done things as bad or worse than things that we all have done here. Peter writes these words in the first century to ordinary Christians. He says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." I want to zoom in on that phrase, a royal priesthood. What is a priest? Well, a priest is someone who communicates God's messages to people. And then, you know, also communicates on behalf of the people to God. A priest is kind of an intermediary between God and people. Peter says to ordinary Christians, y'all are an ordinary, or you ordinary people are a royal priesthood. It's you and God. You can go straight to him. You've got a direct line. You don't need to go through anyone else. Sometimes people have this impression that someone in a role like mine, you know, maybe my prayers are more likely to be heard than theirs, or God listens to me more than he listens to someone else because of what I do. And to that, Peter would say, we all have the same access. We're all invited to come to God and to hear from God. You all are royal priests. One last kind of question I want to think about this morning when we think about God's communication with us. There's the reality that God has things to say to us. The question then might come, well, what kinds of things is God going to want to communicate to us? Typically, when we think about God speaking to us, what we're looking for from him would be guidance or direction. You know, we face this decision, we face this problem, we face circumstances, and we want to know what to do. And so we come to God and we look to him for guidance. I mean, James in the first century, in the scriptures, he writes, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So we say, okay, I don't just want to be a hearer, I want to be a doer, so tell me what to do. Give me guidance, give me direction, God, in this situation, in that place, and I will do it. But what I want you to hear is that guidance is only a part of what God wants to communicate to us. It's only a part. And so listening to God is not just about guidance. It's about a relationship. It's about him wanting to be in relationship with us. Now you recognize, I hope, that you can't have much of a relationship with someone who only ever tells you what to do. I mean, if the relationship is only, you know, this person gives you orders and then you do them, that's not much of a relationship, and that's certainly not the kind of relationship God wants with his people. There's got to be, for there to be a genuine relationship, there's got to be give and take, back and forth. And we can find in the scriptures that God is not just interested in telling us what to do, although he can do that, and he does that. He's interested in far more than that. Back to Abraham for a minute. James described, centuries later, James looked back at Abraham and he described Abraham's relationship with God this way. The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Abraham was God's friend. If you want a little homework assignment here, if you go to Genesis 19, there's this interesting illustration of the friendship between Abraham and God, where they're kind of having a dialogue back and forth. And God, you know, tells Abraham what he's going to do or what he's intending to do. And Abraham says, now, hold on a second. And there's this almost like friendly disagreement between them about what God wanted to do. The kind of banter you might hear among friends. That's Abraham. We could go to Moses. Exodus tells us the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, I've already pointed out that the characters like Abraham and Moses were flawed and gaffe-prone. But still, you might think, but they're Abraham and Moses. I mean, they're in the Bible. Of course, God wants to be friends with them. And then you've come across the words that Pastor John read for us a bit ago out of John 15. I no longer call you servants, Jesus says to his disciples. Said it to his disciples then, and those words would apply as well to present-day disciples of Jesus, those of us choosing to follow him today. I no longer call you servants. A servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. And Jesus goes on and he says, I have much more to his disciples. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Jesus came, invited his disciples to be friends. He left again. He sent his Spirit. And his Spirit now can live actually within us, inside of us. And his Spirit can speak his thoughts directly into our minds. Now, when you think about communication and the way communication works, think about the way it's working right now. At least I hope it's working this way right now. You know, I'm speaking, and that is causing you, I hope, to think about things that maybe you wouldn't think about otherwise. It's getting ideas going in your mind, but the way that it's working is kind of indirect. I have to think of things, and then I speak words that you then hear. And then you process, and that gets things going. God's Spirit living within us can actually put thoughts in our minds that were not there before. He can speak without needing sounds or images to do it. And perhaps he has done that. In fact, I think he probably has done that. And maybe you didn't realize at the time what he was doing. Now, we want God to speak. like that for a number of reasons. I mean, we might want him to speak so that we can avoid risks, you know, or we can avoid responsibility. I mean, if God tells me to do it, then it probably is going to work out, and if it doesn't work out, I'm not responsible because God told me to do it. Or maybe we want God to speak so we can feel good about ourselves. And yet, you know, if God's communication with us is not just about him giving us orders, if it's about friendship, and so he's not always telling us what to do, but he's still wanting to plant thoughts in our minds that we need to hear. I mean, maybe he doesn't want to have to tell us what to do at every step. You know, you think about parents communicating with children. You know your kids are maturing when you don't have to tell them step by step, you know, everything they have to do. No, now get dressed, now get your breakfast, you know. When you don't have to tell them all of those things, you know they're maturing. And so I think God wants us to mature and not to have to just tell us what to do, but to be able to interact as friends and put encouraging thoughts in our minds and teach us things without needing to always tell us what to do. He wants us to live our lives with him, to do things with him, to converse with him. And here's the other thing, you know, when you get to know someone better, eventually, you know the kinds of things that they want you to do, and you can just do them without being told. You know, for some of you parents, isn't that the height of parenthood? When your kids actually see something and they know that you would want them to do that and they just do it because you don't have to tell them to do it. That can be a glorious thing. So I've heard. No, I'm kidding. God wants us to do what he calls us to do. Sometimes he'll nudge us to do it, he'll put a thought in our mind to do it, and sometimes we just see that it needs done and we do it. You know, this is the kind of relationship that we can have with God, where we listen to God and he speaks. Now, probably new thoughts for some of you. If you want to make the shift, let me offer you two practical suggestions. First one is this: get alone and quiet. If you want listening practice, get alone and quiet. Now, God can, I believe God can speak in any way he chooses. So he can speak through the words of others. He can speak even just in the midst of circumstances. But if we really want to listen to God, there is no substitute for time alone and for quiet. Now, I don't know what you would have to do in this particular season of your life to get alone and have quiet. I can remember when my kids were very young, you know, hearing speakers say, you know, you should have a day a week that's just, you know, for rest and reflection and quiet. And that made me immensely frustrated because the reality of my life at the time was not such that I could do that easily. Or if I did, then that meant that Kim was caring for the kids and she couldn't do it. And so I don't know what your season of life will allow. And you know, if you're in that season where you think, I can't possibly imagine how I could get alone and have quiet, well, there will come a season where it'll be easier. But in the meantime, you know, what can you do, even in a small way now? Even if it's just, you know, not listening to music in the car or whatever. Get alone and get quiet. If we really want to listen to God, that's key. Here's the second and last one. slow down with Scripture. If you want to practice listening to God, slow down with Scripture. You know, in recent years, I've changed the way I read the Bible in some ways. You know, I've done the, like, read the Bible through in a year kind of plan. In order to do, and that can be a great exercise, but in order to do that, you have to take huge chunks of Scripture every day. I've really tried to scale that back, and most of the time, I don't read a whole lot, not even necessarily a whole chapter of Scripture. You know, sometimes it's just a few verses, and I've tried to slow down my reading, to pause now and then, and to invite God to speak to me through these words that he's already spoken. Often I end up focusing on a particular word or phrase that I want to take with me throughout the day. When God speaks, he never contradicts the character and words of Jesus. When he speaks, he will never speak in a way that is not consistent with the overall teachings of the Bible. And so, when he puts thoughts in our minds from the Bible, as we read slowly, that can help us to recognize his voice even more if he brings thoughts to our minds that aren't directly from Scripture. Let's listen up. Because God has things he wants to say to us. He wants to speak to you. Not just to the pastor or the missionary or the super saint. And not just always to tell you, you know, okay, now go do this. But he wants to speak. How's your connection? Can we make the shift? Can we make the shift from talking to listening, from asking others or talking to others about our lives to listening to him? The invitation's there. Why don't we pause and listen a little right now? Let's pray. We invite you, God, to speak what you would want to say to us. Silence, oh Lord, can be a bit of a nerve-wracking thing for us in the days in which we live. And yet in the midst of it, you can speak. As we slow down with your word, you can speak. If we are willing to stop talking and to really listen, you can speak. And so whether you have some words of hope, words of encouragement that you want to speak, help us to listen. If you have words of correction or counsel, help us to listen. Whatever you might want to say, help us to listen. And when you want to speak so that we might act, help us to listen. Help us to listen no matter what you want to say, and to be able to enjoy the friendship with you that you invite us to. May we follow Jesus in that regard and in every other in in this listening relationship you call us to. And it's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.